Hey everyone, welcome back to the Contextual Insertion Project. I'm sitting here with Father Roman of the Garrison Church in Lviv. This is one of the people I was working with the medical supplies. This church, if you're following me on social media, you've seen me share a lot of photos of this place. It's absolutely stunning, and the people here are just really so amazing. Father Roman, you know, we talked about some of the stuff outside, and you know, I'm going to ask you some of that. We're also curious, before we get into this, is there anything you'd like to tell us about yourself? Just a little bit of your background story, like where you're from. You don't have to get super personal. Okay. You know.
I am 27 years old. I became a Catholic priest 2 years ago, and I'm joined to our here in Lviv to our priest who is serving for the soldiers, busy soldiers.
Yeah.
They called a military chaplains. So now I am really glad that I make this choice to join them. It's the best place. Be with the soldier is the best place on the planet Earth where I can be.
Yeah, I imagine definitely to be a chaplain, to be a priest, and to serve soldiers now at this time and place is, like you said, it's the perfect time and place to do it. So you're Ukrainian, right? You're from here?
Yeah.
Where or ballpark are you from?
I am from west of Ukraine. It's city Lviv.
Okay.
Very beautiful city. After our victory, we invited your listeners to come here. It's a really beautiful place.
It is.
So, I'm studying here in Ukrainian Catholic University and Lviv Holy Spirit Seminary, and during 7 years. And then when I finished, I am joined to our priest who's serving for a military.
Yeah, it's this city is amazing. It's really gorgeous. I've been walking around talking to people, interviewing them and everything, and it's just like there's so many cool things to see here. Even with the wartime situation going on, it's like it's just really like I like to travel a lot, and I have this thing when I travel where I love to go look at like the churches and everything, because I just like spending time there. And this city has, the places I've been, the city has the most amazing churches. They're just incredible. So you're Greek Catholic, right?
Yeah.
So that's, you're in full communion with Rome?
Yes.
Just like an Eastern Catholic? That's cool.
From 23 East Catholic Church, a Greek Catholic Church. It's the biggest East Catholic Church in the world. Near 6 million people are Greek Catholic.
Okay. Yeah, so you're a military chaplain.
Yep.
It's sort of interesting because, like, in America, you know, we have military chaplains too.
I know.
But they're usually sworn into the military. But you're not actually sworn in, though, right? You're not actually an officer in the military?
Yeah, I'm not an officer. But last year, our government made this law that military serving military service is part of forces of Ukraine.
Yeah. Okay. That's cool. So you do a lot of stuff here at this chapel. You go to the bases and also do you have things here you usually do at this chapel? What do you do? Soldiers come?
In my military base or here?
Yeah. Do you have like a lot of soldiers here for?
Yeah, of course. And we know that a lot of our soldiers come to our church. They mostly they want to come without uniform. They come, but we know them face to face. So a lot of them was married here. A lot of them baptized their children here. And the hardest things that we know. During these 8 years, a lot of them has a last prayer here in church, and their funeral of our heroes was also in this church.
Yeah, there's I see there's a lot of birds, the paper birds, the folded birds in one of the alcoves. I was told that was a dedication to lost soldiers. The birds, is that correct?
In the left.
The doves, on the left side?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the photos of the soldiers, which was funeral in this church.
Okay. Yeah, and excuse the noise, everyone. Again, I'm in a war zone, so it's like people are there's only so much we can do, so, and we have to be understanding. I was actually doing an interview last night in a refugee shelter, which is, you know, you're going to be dealing with a lot of stuff. This is not a situation where I'm bringing a podcast studio where I can have it perfectly. You know, it's actually funny. I mentioned to you earlier, one of the soldiers when I was coming through the border, you know, the soldiers are just, if you're not Ukrainian, they're going to stop you and check out what you're doing and what you think you're up to. And I was kind of getting, you know, interrogated by some soldiers, and I was like, hey, I'm going to see these people. One of these people is Father Roman. And he was like, oh, okay. The soldier was like, yes, that's my priest. And he like immediately knew who you were. Yeah, but it was, anyway, you were telling me something about the church here, and this church is, like, again, you know, if you follow me on social media, you've seen the photos of this place, and it's just truly moving to see it. It's stunning. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about this church?
Yeah, sure. First of all, this church was built by Jesuits in 17th century. They have this church have very big historical importance. They're really important from historical view. So also this church was built by monks Jesuits. So during Soviet Union period, the church was closed. So the soldiers here in Ukraine helped us as the military chaplains open this church. They help us to give a new life to this church, and very soon after they opened the church, it was in 2011.
Yeah.
During 3 years, we started the war with Russia. So and we as a military chaplains has opportunity to make everything that is possible to help our soldiers. And now we do this.
Yeah, it's really gorgeous. I see there's a lot of like the frescoes and like there's some very famous frescoes here from like Eckstein was the artist's name. And I was looking at, there's a bunch of displays out front about how they're, you know, cleaning the place up and restoring it. And it's just truly, it's absolutely stunning. Like every day I've been here, I've stopped by for at least 5 minutes just to kind of relax and have a moment of silence in the chapel. It's just, it's truly moving.
For us, it's the best that we can see that our soldiers who come on uniform or without uniform, and we see how they are standing and praying. It's amazing feeling. You understand that your works is good works, and so I just thankful to God that I have opportunity to see this.
That's
and
awesome.
See all these beautiful, kind people who come and wants to help our country, wants to help our army. For me as a priest, as I say, it's the best place on earth where I can be.
Yeah, I can imagine. Can you tell me a little bit about what you're doing here for refugees and for people that are suffering? I see that, I know you're gathering a lot of supplies, and I mean, I had a couple bags of medical supplies I brought too, and you know, I had enough to kind of to give to a lot of different people, but you know, we ended up giving you a big chunk of it. What are you doing here for refugees? Like, what I see, there's like clothing and some other stuff. It looks like
first of all, we have a house, parish house. It's named House of Misericordia of Saint Nicholas, and there are a lot of places. All this house are now in full of different people who is refugees, who was displaced from their house, from their home by this war. So and everything that we can do for them, we do. If it's starting from the finding them clothes and also preparing them food and making everything that is possible. So and a lot of our Lviv citizens are really wants to help them, really glad to see them alive, And so we make everything that is possible to, but too much people. We really feel that Lviv is full of more than 20,000, or 20, not, sorry, not 20,000, 200,000 people now in Lviv. And they're different, they have different history. Their house was destroyed. It's people from Kharkov, at the east of Ukraine, from Kyiv, at the north of Ukraine, and also from south of Ukraine. And all of them don't know what they are going to do. They don't know should them stay here or should they go in Poland. And we as a priest try to give them first of all, spiritual support, psychological support, material support, finding them different ways where they can stay, maybe to help with the children, to help, as I say, everything that we can, we try to do.
Is there anywhere, like, I think a lot of it's local. It looks like the people I've talked to, a lot of the support they're giving, they're organizing it and supplying it locally. I mean, I brought some stuff in from America. Do you have any suggestions about like where people can donate to support Ukraine? Or do you have anything specifically here? Or any thoughts on how people out of the country can help?
I'm a little bit speaking English, so it's actually my duty now. I speaking with a lot of people from Poland, from Sweden, from Norway, France, Italy, USA, Britain, German, Spain, Portugal, and all the world. Ukrainians are around all the world, so they find a good person in each country, and they call us and wants to support as they can. Somebody buying medicine, somebody buying a different military equipment for our soldiers, somebody donate money for our army. So, and we are really understand how that it's not a real war just of Ukraine. It's a war of all civilization world against this evil which come to our country with face of Putin, with this book, with this Z symbol.
Z, the satanic Z.
And now we understand that we as a nation also have an opportunity to become strong, to become a part of Western civilization. We are the part of Western civilization, but a lot of our people during this our independence, they forget about that. And also it's when the war start in 2014, so it was our first chance to become a strong nation. So now I think it's our I hope no, but I think it's maybe our last chance to become a real strong nation that can stop evil here. And I think that Putin is not one just to Ukraine. He's a little bit, not a little bit, he's crazy, and he just want to be like a dictator.
Dictator,
yeah.
A dictator.
I think he, everywhere which are close to him, he wants to get his influence for this. So I hope that together Ukrainians, together Europeans and all the world can stop this evil.
I'm going to switch the question order around now because we kind of got on Putin, and I want to kind of keep pushing on that line.
Okay.
You know, Vladimir Putin, he's made some claims in his speeches, and I want to get your response to this. You know, he's made claims like Ukraine is not a real country, you know, that you really belong to Russia. You know, all these sorts of things. Like, Ukrainians are not real people. Like, my personal observation from just being here for a few days is there is a distinct Ukrainian identity, and like how would you respond to that? Like you know, what's your how would you refute that or debunk that?
Oh, I think that Putin has a very, very easy start this war in 14th year, so he attacked Crimea, attacked Donbas, it's a part of our country, and she looks that I think he thinks that it would be very easy for him to attack all of Ukraine. He have like his own imagine that here living just a part of Russian, and also he tried to. I don't know. He is really believing in that, or it's just a part of his propaganda.
Propaganda
for Russians. So, but this propaganda is real disgusting when you hear that, when you hear about like Nazis here in Ukraine, when you hear about that their space shuttles was attacked by from west of Ukraine by some rockets, and when you hear that and understand that Ukraine don't have any opportunity to attack space shuttle, so it's just first is the laugh, you want to laugh from that, but secondly you understand that this message is for Russians, and they really believe that it's true. So unfortunately we now understand that this propaganda is like in Orwell books works, and works very strong. They
like
believe
George Orwell.
George Orwell
propaganda. Yeah, it's one of the things, you know, like as an American, we're far away, and the stuff that we see, like, you know, I remember the Cold War, and Ukraine was part of the Soviet Union, so there's stuff people, Americans, don't really understand some of the full dynamics of what's happening between like the Baltics and the Ukraine and Russia. And like my experience here is like, you know, y'all have a different language from Russia, you know, there's a distinct different culture, and there are people with a different identity, and it's not just, you know, it's more than just lines on a map, it's like literally different people with different identities. But yeah, let's see, and this is, we're switching the questions around. This is my first time in Ukraine. The people here have been really amazing. Everyone's been so welcoming. Lots of just very warm greetings from people. Like, you know, I've come to help and I try to talk to people. They've been amazing. They all seem incredibly motivated to fight for their country. As a priest, you probably have really good insight into how they feel and they think. I mean, what's your take on that? Like, morale seems pretty high here. What do you think? The Ukrainian people seem very motivated.
So thank you for this question. It was really hard to explain what we are feeling during this day of 21st of February, when we hear about the massive attack from Russia. So it was like, first of all, like a little panic. I cannot explain. It's disgusting feelings. So, and of course, after that, I wake up and go here to church. I'm starting our mass, our divine liturgy with this sirens. So it was really terrible. But then we and all the people understand that we should be together, we should stick together. And now a lot of people are really motivated. When I look at different videos, movies, I see that guys without weapon try to stop the tanks. And the same video as you see in Russia, when the one cops running for the a lot of people. And you understand that we have real different nations. we are real different with Russians. So now, from young boy and girls to the old person, They all want to do something, all understand that it's our war. Every person can do on his place everything to win in this war. So I, as a priest, try to give the spiritual support of my soldiers, remind them that we are here not to kill somebody, we are here to defend our home. And now people in Ukraine are really motivated to stop the Russian, as the Russians say, the second power army in the world. So we want that our country can stop the second power army in the world.
Yeah, I see there's not really much defeatism here. I've noticed that for sure. People are not like depressed, like everyone seems to be in really high spirits, and yeah. And that's really good to hear. Last question.
I want to tell one story from some village on Sumy region. It is on at the north of Ukraine, and this story. We are joking about this. That four tanks are coming in some village. They are losing because their maps are not working here, and two tanks ending fuel. So the guys from these two tanks go to other tanks and go somewhere else to finding this fuel. Our Ukrainian person from this village go to this tank and get down the Russian flags and give Ukrainian flag. When they are coming back, they see Ukrainian tanks. They think that Ukrainian this tank, and they start shooting for these tanks and destroy
two of their own tanks.
So and after that, they are losing again on a place where a tank can go, and they lost their. Another two tanks and go by his leg, by their legs to home.
Oh god, it's hilarious! Like actually getting the Russians to shoot up their own tanks by changing the flags.
And now we are all laughing from this story, but
that's pretty smart. Yeah. That's pretty smart. I see a lot of that. It's really interesting how many people here are just fighting hard and thinking and like watching the videos of people blocking the troops, like their bodies, and the people are just. The troops just like walk away because they can't.
We should also understand that it's like some part of us, and during this darkness time we should joke, we should remember for what we are fighting for, so it's very important.
It is you have to keep your spirits up. And that's what I see with the Ukrainian people. It's like, y'all are so good at keeping your spirits. One last little question here. This is kind of an open mic question. What would you like Americans to know? Like, what would you tell Americans about the conflict, about Ukrainians? Like, any last parting thoughts?
I tell this three points. First of all, I want that Americans should know that Ukrainians is other nation that don't have any simulation with Russian nation. So we are a different country. It's our home here. It's very beautiful home. And the second point would be that we, after our victory, invite you to visit Ukraine to see our country. We have very beautiful mountains where I love to be with my soldiers. We have a beautiful sea. So we really invite you to be here. And the third point, it's really important to understand that it is, as I say before, it's not a war just of some nation of Ukraine. It's a war of all civilization world, NATO, European Union. So it shows how we should reflect at this evil, how the civilization world should reflect. We can just stay and watch what happened, or we can do everything that it is in our possibility to help to stop the evil. And for me as a priest, it's of course it's very important that remind again and again that light is more powerful than darkness, the life is more powerful than the death, the resurrection. Every time that Jesus give us this resurrection, of course should win, and we believe that we can win. And I hope the Americans also believe that we can stop this evil.
Thank you so much. This is Father Roman here at the Garrison Temple in Lviv. Thanks for tuning in. Again, sorry for little noises in the background. Like I told y'all when I came out on this trip, this is in a war zone. I'm kind of doing stuff in on the streets and in little corners. But this is a great interview with Father Roman, and thank you so much.
And the last thing, I hope so after our victory, I improve my English.
Oh, no, you did great. You did super great.
Thanks.
Anyway, thanks for tuning in, folks, and we'll keep you posted.